Psalms chapter number 90.
I was actually going to preach from this Sunday night. Brother Sisson dropped in and let him preach, and so I changed it around a little bit about what I want to preach on it, but I'm still going to preach from the same text. Remember a couple things about this Psalm chapter 90. It's the only psalm of all the 150 psalms that's written by Moses. It's one that's written, and it's got three or four different breaks in it. The first part, first few verses, compares our shortness of life, how our life is so short compared to God in His eternity. Time means nothing with God. God was before time, and that's hard to understand. And time only began when He made the worlds and made us. God does not abide by time. That's why here in a moment you'll read that 1,000 days or 1,000 years is with God as one day. Or one day with God is 1,000 years with us, I should say. In other words, what seems like tremendous long periods of time is nothing compared to God. Now remember that Moses wrote this, and he also wrote in verses 7 through 11, and he deals with the subject of why do we die? We all die because sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin brings death to all of us when it's finished with us. The Bible says that when we are drawn away, we're drawn away by our own lust, and lust when it's finished brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished brings forth death. And so Moses tells, and he's telling the children of Israel, now remember, he led millions of them out of Egypt. They cried to God to send someone to rescue them. And he sent Moses and told Pharaoh to let my people go. After some persuasion, he let them go. And he took millions of them across the Red Sea into the wilderness. They crossed the wilderness and they went on over to Kadesh Barnea, and there God was going to take them to the promised land, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. But because when Moses got there, he sent 12 spies across to spy it out. 10 of them come back and said, there's no way we can do that because the men over there is like giants and we're like grasshoppers. And so only 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, said that we can take it. With the Lord's help, we can take this. And so God told Israel and told Moses to tell the people that everyone over 20 years old would die in the wilderness. That they would go round and round and round in the wilderness for 40 years. And in that 40 years, everybody 20 years old and older, except for Caleb and Joshua, would die in that wilderness. They had hundreds of thousands of funerals during that time. When Moses writes a little bit about death, he knows a little bit about what he's talking about. Because what he got to do is he got to see all the people, regardless of who they were, die. The leaders, the followers, the men, the women, the servants, and those that was better off. It didn't matter. The healthy, the unhealthy. Death visits everybody. People said, well, I don't like to think about death. And I want to share with you a couple of thoughts, but let's begin reading, if you would, in chapter 90 in verse 1. Follow with me, keep your Bibles open. The Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and saith, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but a yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep, and in the morning they are like grass which groweth up, and in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy substance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Now remember that and think about that a moment. Every one of you will leave a tale about who you were, what you were, that will be told. It will be passed on to your children and probably passed on, hopefully, to your grandchildren and their children. But let's hope that you leave a good tale to be told. Look on. He goes on in verse 10. He says, the days of our years are 70. In other words, 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Now notice verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Think about this a moment. Now think about this. Every one of you have so many days and so many years that you will live. Some will live long lives and some will live brief lives. But if you live to be, right now the average age is somewhere around 78, 79. If you live, you would have 1,440 minutes a day. You would have 525,600 minutes every year. Every minute that you have is valuable to you because it's a minute that you can't get back. How many of us live our life, and sometimes I feel like I get in a rut of going around in circles and not accomplishing anything? How many of us spends our lives unhappy, wasting time, and realizing that there's something missing? If we live to be 79 or 78, we would sleep approximately 26.2 years of that time. Think about that. Someone figured this up and said we'd be eating about 32 years of it. Unless you're like me, you'd add a few more years. Be working 11.5 years. If you work 40 hours, 5 days a week. Watching TV, about 8.75 years of your life. If you spent 15 minutes every day reading the Bible, you'd spend about 156 days reading the Bible. If you were faithful in church and came to church all three services and come to Sunday school, you would spend approximately 1 year and nine, I think 1 year and 3 months of your life in church out of the 78. Reason why I said that is we are responsible to guard our time. I usually don't do this, but I'm going to use a song because most of you would know it. I think it was written in 1974. A guy by the name of Harry Chapin sung it. It was called Cats in the Cradle. How many of you have ever heard that? You may not know, but actually his wife wrote it as a poem. And she wrote it about her ex-husband before she married Harry. And she wrote it because his dad, he never got to know his dad, and he went looking for his dad, and she wrote the poem in relationship to her ex-husband and his absent dad. But what happened in the process is later on she married Harry, and he really didn't care too much about the poem until they had their son Josh. And so he found himself, he ended up taking the poem and writing the song, and he became famous because of that song. And when his son was 7 years old, he was doing 200 concerts a year. And his wife told him, said, "You need to spend some time with your son." Now, it's ironic that she wrote it for her ex-husband, but now she's giving him, the one that's singing it, making it famous, instruction to spend some time with his son. And his comment to her was this: "I've got several concerts this summer, but at the end of the summer, I am going to spend some time with Josh." He was 38 years old that summer. And so he was going to a business meeting, and a truck hit his Volkswagen he was driving in the back end, and it burst into flames, and he was killed. Needless to say, he was actually a prophecy of his own song. My point is this: we only get to pass through life one time. There's so many things that we're not doing that we need to stop and take time a little bit and think about. I think about things that I miss with my children. Can't do anything about it now. But then I realized the other day things I'm missing with my grandchildren. And I look and seem like 7 days a week somebody is hollering for me to be somewhere, do something, and go somewhere. Or something needs to be taking place. But it really troubles me. Because I figured out that I'm not getting any younger. And the Bible says here that we need to apply our hearts into wisdom and learn to number our days in verse number 12. Why do we need to learn to number our days? Well, number one, because life is short. We never know how long it's going to last. When we're young, feels like it's going on. And so here Moses, he compares our life with God's life. And even Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll read it. You don't have to turn over there. I'll read it real quick. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse number 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." And of course, he repeats it again here in Psalms. And what we need to learn is this: there's only one person that's really constant. People that we have in our life will come and go. As you know, if God doesn't change things, we probably won't have mom for a long time. And yet she might stick around for a while. The issues of death is in the hands of God. But what the Bible teaches us is there's only one constant that we can trust in, and that's God. He will always be here. He always was. He always will be. He's been from generation to generation. And in verse 1, he said, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. You've been the one constant thing, God, that we can rely upon. And so therefore, when we're going through life, you say, well, I've got a good husband. Well, that husband may leave you. May pass away. There may be other things that happen. But look on. We need to remind ourselves that we are dust, mortal. We don't last very long, even at best. And of course, the Bible here teaches, and as Moses is talking about, he's talking about the fact that we're consumed because of anger and wrath, and the word wrath means stored up anger against sin. And so therefore, everybody here has sin. That's what takes our lives away. The Bible said over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul repeats this commandment. He says, children, obey thy parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long upon the face of the earth. And the Bible teaches us that if we will learn to honor our mother and father, that God will extend our days some. And here Moses writes that normally our life would be 70 years, 70 years. But by strength it may be 80 years. But with the longer we live, the more sorrow it brings. More pains. More aches. I'm not trying to get you discouraged. But I'm trying to say that's the reality of life. Now think about this a moment. The important thing is that while we are here, now listen to me a minute, since we have all sinned, our important task is this, that we better find the mercy and grace of God through Christ Jesus while we're living. If we die without Christ, then his wrath is upon us. He that hath the Son, talking about Jesus, hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Therefore, it is so important that we learn to put our faith and trust in Christ, and we are saved and born again through believing and trusting in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the Bible teaches that Jesus becomes our propitiation. The word propitiation means he protects us from the wrath of God. He took our place. And therefore, if we have him as our personal Savior, we're protected by his shed blood upon the cross of Calvary and his act and his work in which he did there for the sins of the whole world. And if we have believed upon him, called upon him to save our souls, and he's come in and he lives within us, then what happens is we have prepared ourselves for the time when death will find us. There's a story in Luke chapter 12 that talks about a rich farmer. He went about living his life and he had so much money, had so much harvest that he had, his barns couldn't hold it. And so what he said, I'm going to tear my old barns down, I'm going to build new barns, and I'm going to eat, drink, be merry, and just enjoy life because I've got so much. And God came to him that night and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I'll never forget when we had Dad laid out here at the church in the casket. Dad had requested that his Bible be opened to that verse. He had it underlined. He had it outlined in his Bible about the rich farmer. And I'll never forget, I saw some guy walk up through here and he was just bawling. And I walked up and asked him why he was crying. He pointed that verse, this verse in chapter 12 of Luke I just described. And he said, that rich farmer, he said, that's me. He said, I've lived my whole life and not prepared to meet God at all. I said, well, you better prepare to meet God before it's too late. Let me ask you this tonight. You say, well, 70 years is a long time. Linda, you mind telling, how old are you? I know I'll get in trouble. 71 tomorrow. Well, happy birthday. You're not telling? Junior, tell. Huh? 74? Huh? I thought you was 80. And we could go on. And Jim, you're what? 80? 82. You mind telling Steve how old you are? 84. Now see, by counts, they pass that threshold. You've reached the threshold. We're headed toward that. I'm 62, or I will be in here in another month. And we passed that threshold, and what I'm trying to get across to you is this. There was a time when I thought life went on forever. But life's been short. And that's why you better prepare to meet God and be wise and learn to count your days and number your days. If you get this idea you're going to live forever, and by the way, young people die sometimes too. You never know when you may die. All we do know this, we're a fool if we think that we're never going to die. Because someday, God's going to call us out and we're going to have to face death. So, first of all, it matters because life's short. Second of all, it matters because life can be wasted. Have you ever known anybody that just wasted their life? You know, the Bible records Jesus as saying some things about people when they finish up life. Very short, few words. Jesus looks at one, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." A few words, but what a great message that was. That man, in Jesus' determination, had not wasted his life. But again, the Bible records Jesus as saying this to many, he says. He's going to say this many. "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you." So it matters, and life matters, and it's important to count and number your days because it can be wasted. Somebody said, "Well, you don't know, but I built this and I built that, I built this, I built that." Let me ask you this. Have you built your future with God? Have you prepared to meet God when that day comes that you stand before Him and we have to give an account? Now, let me say this. It matters because also we are told that everyone's going to have to give an account of their works. The Bible says if you die, listen, the Bible talks and tells us clearly that when we die, there's two places you go. Some go to heaven, some to hell. You say, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. You say, "Well, I just don't believe in it." You will. Wait till you close your eyes in death, you'll believe that there is. The Bible says that there was that there's been some that's died and went to heaven and describes experience. Some has died and went to hell and describes experience there. But what will determine whether you go to heaven or hell is not how good you've been, whether you belong to a certain church, whether you've been baptized by, it's what have you done with Jesus. What preparation have you made through Jesus to be face death? But now listen to me a minute. Even saved people at the judgment seat of Christ, that is for saved people, their works will follow them. The Bible says, "For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ," talking about those who are saved, "and give an account of themselves, whether they be good or their deeds, whether they be good or whether they be evil." So those of us who are saved, when we die, immediately we go to heaven, but when we stand before God and have to give an account, we've got to give an account ourselves. Whether it's good things or bad things, we've got to give account. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, some of the things that we have, and some people, everything that they have built since they've been saved will be burnt. Then the Bible also says those that die and go to hell, they'll be brought up before a great white throne judgment, and again, their works follow them too. You say, why? Because Jesus explained that. He said it will be more tolerable for some than it will others. Not that hell will be pleasant for nobody, but there will be different degrees of punishment. There will be different degrees of reward in heaven. You say, I don't like to think about that. You better apply your heart to wisdom. Number your days. Turn one more place, if you would. Turn, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Very familiar verse. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Not getting on secular songs tonight, but somebody wrote a song about this too. A group called the Birds years ago in the 70s or 60s. But Solomon wrote it a long time before they ever got around. But now let's read it real quickly with me. Before I close, I want to show you something real quickly. The Bible says to everything there is a season, chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and time to sow, a time to keep silence and time to speak, a time to love and time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that which wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, and also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He goes on down and says this in verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should what? Fear before him. Look on over, if you would, to chapter 12 real quickly in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, in verse number 12. Or verse number 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Solomon went through. He lived life. He had everything life. He had money. He had all kinds of things. Marriage. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He had vineyards. He had farms. He had manservants, maidservants, silver, gold. He couldn't even count. He had all kinds of things. Wisdom. And he said, when I finished life up, he said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, God has given some people many talents. God has given some people few talents. God has given some people longevity. God has allowed others to live lesser lives. God has given some people plenty of money. God has allowed some people to be without that much money. But we better learn to use the time and the talents and the things that God has given us. Now, listen, there is time for all kinds of things. Ecclesiastes, Solomon says there's time. All those things are things that we go through. Sometimes there's time to smile, sometimes and laugh, sometimes there's times that we weep. There's all kinds. Sometimes there's time to work and gather things up. Sometimes there's time to rest. Sometimes we have to war. Sometimes we have peace. But there is a time to be born. There is a time to die. So the question is this. We need to learn to number our days and apply our hearts into wisdom. Because we never know when that time's going to end. And life is short, and life can be wasted. And you know, hell is full of people that cries out that had opportunities to do something, and they passed it up. and they end up wasting their lives. And also, life is going to be something that we all have to give an account for. All those minutes I told you, 585,600 every year, you got to give an account for every minute of that. And somebody said, well, do you think there's anything wrong with going down here and throwing a fishing pole in the lake? I think there's a time for everything. But we need to learn to use our time wisely. Because we turn around and time's gone. Our children grows. Then here comes grandchildren and they grow. And it's amazing how fast time goes. And there's only one constant in all this. And that's God. Nothing changes with God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we need to trust in God while we have this brief time upon this life. Moses said, your life's like a grass. It grows of a morning and it withers at night, blown away. That's how quick. James says it's like a vapor, suddenly gone. So let me ask you this tonight. Are you making preparations in this life? Are you ready? Again, going back to that psalm, I wonder if Harry Chapman had knew that he was going to get killed, if he'd went ahead and just said, well, when I finish this summer out, I'm going to spend some time. I wonder if he would change his life some. I wonder the same thing about many others, and myself included. Wonder when we get to the end of life how many things we're going to regret that we didn't take time to spend our days wisely. Amen. Let's stand if you would. You care come play something again? Yeah.